Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bebop Banter, the internet's premier anime podcast. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Demetrius.
Stay hydrated, people.
Yeah, let me take a nice little sip of that liquid death going on. And Saeed.
Merp.
And we're back. Thank you all to everybody that listened to the KatsuCon Live Part 2 and our Crunchyroll Awards 2023 reaction piece. We've had a couple longer episodes recently, especially the kind of KatsuCon Lives that were over an hour each. And because I want to watch this Japan versus USA baseball game that's going to be starting up here soon, we've decided to return to kind of the shorter form format, 30-ish minute long episodes. One, because we are all kind of getting a little busy. Saeed and I mean, it's like almost midterms for your work. It's end of fiscal year for my work. Demetrius has a lot of stuff going on. So we're going to try to pump out some shorter. Yeah, your mid-years. So we're going to try to pump out a lot of shorter episodes going on. Think back to when we started going weekly with the My Anime Academia. But it has been a while since we've all talked, which means we're going to go with a Bebop Banter. So, here is a nice, short, sweet, to the point, everything we've been up to. And because my allergies are still just, I'm not fully beating them, because I've been lazy on the Zyrtec, not sponsored, I'm going to pass it to one of you so I can get a sip of water, and we'll just get started.
Oh, yeah. So, Sai, what you up to?
Well,
like I just deflected.
I thought Demetrius was going to take it.
I can take it first because usually I'm the most boring out of the bunch because I don't really do
That's
much.
That's not true.
You're not boring, Saeed. You say the wildest things.
I mean, like, as in what I do in my free time. I'm a very, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I watch the same things over and over again, like YouTube videos. I don't know if anyone else does this. Like, when I'm bored, I watch familiar content sometimes over and over again.
Okay.
I don't know
and
if that's a thing.
What familiar content?
Like, I watch, like, the past week or two, I've been watching old Shofu videos just over and over again.
That's not bad.
That's basically,
though.
You can't really beat nostalgia. Like, sometimes I'll go back and watch really old 14, 15 years ago, like, AMVs.
No, I'm talking about I'd watch some of this stuff, like, last week, and then I'll watch it again this week. Same video type thing. Like, I'll watch a video, say, 1 week ago, and a week, and, like, today I'll watch that same video again. I don't know. But besides that, I've been...
shows, it's fine.
Yeah, but besides that, I've been watching a lot of ghost stuff. I know Wes is a big fan.
Is it paranormal?
Pretty much almost.
Paranormal?
Yeah, Twin Paranormal. I almost watched all the backlog, and I also watch this channel called Exploring with Josh, which is also a ghost hunting channel.
I'll have to check
Sam and Kobe is probably the biggest ghost hunting channel on YouTube. It's a little bit more normie-ish, but that's how I found everybody else.
Are they drinking any potions at 3 a.m.?
Ooh, the Among Us potion. 3 a.m.
The only potion I drink is water.
Yeah.
H2O.
Yeah. And also, I came out of my Genshin hiatus. What was it? Yeah, 2 days ago or yesterday?
Ooh, let's go.
I did my dailies. I did a little bit of my Archon quest in Liyue.
Yes.
I finished the Mondstadt storyline, and I'm in Liyue now. So I started that a little bit yesterday. I only played for like 45 minutes yesterday. But before that, I didn't touch Genshin since KatsuCon, but that's all I've been up to, basically.
You know what YouTube channel you should watch, Saeed? There's one I just recently found called In Deep Geek. Have you heard of them?
I've heard of them, but I don't think I know what it is.
So, In Deep Geek, this is 100% a Saeed channel. All this guy does, and my dad and I were watching it because it's so good. He does, like, plot and character analysis of Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
I watch Alt-Shift-X for Game of Thrones stuff. I know I used to watch him a lot.
In particular, I do In Deep Geek for the Lord of the Rings stuff, but he'll do like book and movie comparisons, like video essays on could the hobbits have really flown the eagles to Mordor, like that type of stuff. So
okay, I'll check it out. I love lore videos about. I love lore videos.
Yeah, he does whole battle breakdowns too. So I just finished watching his like 20-minute video on the Battle of Pelennor Fields. So good.
Ooh.
But all right. I thought you still haven't seen any of those movies, bro.
Dude. Oh, Demetrius.
I look at them all the time on Amazon Prime. I'm like, one day I'm gonna press play.
I would say. Yeah, I was going to say, if I have to pick, like, no memes of me saying Pacific Rim or something, if I had to pick, like, a legitimate set of movies that I would put as my favorite, like, or my number one best set of movies, it would be the three Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, that's always my answer. When people ask me what's my favorite movie of all time, I say the Lord of the Rings series.
Extended like editions, trilogy. Baby. Yeah, extended editions.
Yeah. I was like, you're
get
cheating.
The Hobbit out of here.
That's not
get
one
the
movie,
out of
that's
here,
a
though.
Series.
They filmed it all in one go, so is it just one movie broken up into three parts?
Hey.
But I see what you're saying. Out of the three, though, my favorite's probably the second one.
Yeah,
I think.
Two Towers is my favorite.
Yeah.
Some good stuff, dude.
As someone who has never seen or read Lord of the Rings, hearing the Two Towers does not sound very good.
I mean, that's the... This gets into Lord of the Rings lore, but the Two Towers did signal a departure from the books in that certain events happen that prevent the scouring of the Shire from happening in Return of the King. But hey, that's all right. That's all right. You know.
Nice.
Lord of the Rings. You got to give it a watch, dude. You got to give it a watch. So good.
Going right over my head the whole time. Yep.
Got it.
One day.
Did you like
I'll
Game of Thrones?
I'll just take the plunge. Until the last season, yeah.
I think you'll like Lord of the Rings. It's not like politically, it's not... Or no, there is some politics behind it, but it's like a, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not as dark as Game of Thrones. It's not as gray. It's more black and white with the good guys and bad guys in Lord of the Rings.
But
it's
you can
it's
tell
classic.
From like, yeah, like the vibe, like the set design, the costume design.
It's like the epitome. It's like good versus evil, that type of storytelling to its perfection.
Yeah.
So it's nice to look at because it's like. You know, I know a lot of people don't like pure good versus pure evil because then it gets like kind of boring for some people. But Lord of the Rings does it in a way where the movies do it in a way where it's done like really, really perfectly. It's not too over the top with it, but it is a little bit more gray when you get into the lore. If you know the lore in the background, it's a lot more gray.
Interesting.
And I think... well, Saeed, before, because I'll transition, because that actually transitions really well. Like, a point I have about Lord of the Rings transitions really well into something I've been doing recently. But do you have anything else? You got anything else going on?
Nah, that's about it.
All right, so I think one underappreciated aspect of Lord of the Rings is, or it's one that people know is there, but it's not as talked about, and that's the fact that you see the story from multiple different angles. Right, like you start out in Fellowship of the Ring with one main group, but then by the end of the movie the Fellowship breaks and you see at times
it's
three
just
separate
like multiple
main
viewpoints
groups.
Right,
yeah, you see like three separate groups going throughout their journey, and that transitions really well to a game I've been playing recently. Absolutely addicted to it, Demetrius. You knew it was coming because I sent it.
I was like, I almost said it for you.
Oh my god. If you've listened to the podcast before, you'll know I'm a proponent of visual novel games. Especially ones that have some sort of real world horror tie in to it. And I think the sale ends tomorrow or like today by the time that this excuse me. Episode comes out, but it's only $5 off on sale, or it's $4 off on sale, so it's $19.99. But it's this game called Paranormasite, The Seven Mysteries of Honjo, and oh boy, I don't want to spoil anything really about the main plot, But the essence of the story, it takes place in a real-world city in Japan with, I believe, real-world, like, urban legends and real-world locations within this city and real-world history for this city. And you see a story play out based on these urban legends and curses and such through the lens of, I think right now, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, probably 6 to 9 characters when all is said and done. Some of the most, like, OG clever.
6 to 9, you say, huh?
Yeah. I snuck that in there. Some of the most, like, going all the way back to Metal Gear Solid levels of puzzles, clever, that I've seen in a video game. That, oh, it just, chef's kiss. So great puzzles. It's not as horror filled. It's more of like a murder mystery type of thing, because I've talked about Deathmark and stuff before.
We don't talk about that here.
Yeah, character designer. Yeah, great game. Deathmark is Demetrius. Just is, you know, it's definitely freakier than Paranormal Sight.
I would like to sleep designer, at night.
Dude. Character designer of Paranormasight is the designer, I forget his name, but it's a character designer for The World Ends With You. The art... art is insane. Art is so good. The first story you play through, because they make you play through one guy's story, feels kind of like disjointed and, I don't know, rushed at times. But then once you get through that kind of tutorial story, it pans out. You get a whole timeline with all the characters, places on the timeline. And it's up to you as the player to solve puzzles, put together where certain people are, even though the timeline kind of visualize it for you. But put together where some people are at the same time as other events happening. And you build the picture of this big story that's happening, this big kind of urban legend, curse, murder, mystery story. Super easy to play because it's a visual novel. Super good story so far. And it does, like, what I like about it is, the puzzles are really, really clever in that they're non-traditional puzzles. And that's all I want to say for people that would be interested in playing this game, because I do not want to spoil, like, that aha moment of when you figure it out. But it does a good job of weaving the main plot points throughout all the different characters, so that as you play through different characters' stories, something one person said in their story all of a sudden makes sense, or it unlocks something in your mind in someone else's story a little bit before it might be explicitly stated. So it makes you feel like you're solving the mystery, and it gives that added sense, which, you know, is a thing in anime, relating it back to the major theme of this podcast in general. It gives that sense of tension, that one-sided tension where you as the viewer or the player knows something another group knows, or knows that something is going to happen because of an act that the character you're playing at that moment might not know about. So, Paranormal Sight, Seven Mysteries of Hanjo, cannot recommend it enough. That's, besides marathoning some anime, that's pretty much what I've been in.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice. Don't play Deathmark. I tried to get... You can play what'd you call it?
It's funny. In my mind, I remember it because Paranorman, that old movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what I almost said.
Yeah. But it's called Paranormasight. Like, S-I-G-H-T.
As I struggle to
get through talking this much in a row without, like, taking a sip of water or something. But it is, like, in a way, I would almost recommend it over Deathmark, because some of Deathmark's puzzles, like the art and how gruesome Deathmark can be and how shocking it can be, is definitely appreciated. But the puzzles in Paranormal Sight are so, like, not hard, but clever, that whereas Deathmark's puzzles are,
like, the type, like, you have to Google and figure out what the heck they
mean. Yeah, the type you have to Google, or, like, the type that you wouldn't think about. Or you have to, like, find something that it doesn't explicitly tell you have to find.
Sometimes things just don't translate well, you know?
Yeah, and also I think Paranormasite, like, while it has different branching stories, it does a good way of making the journey to the true ending thus far, because I haven't beaten it, but the journey to the true ending seamless. Like, it feels like you're playing to get to the one true ending, even if you branch off and do not so ideal endings. Like, it doesn't feel like you have to replay things or go out of your way to do it. It's really good in chunks. Whereas Deathmark and even Spirit Detective NG, the other game in that series, if you don't do certain things, you're going to have to play through large chunks, if not the entirety of a game, to get back to the good ending. So it just feels like a better for, like, people like me that are now juggling their time to try to beat games with work and other things. I appreciate streamlining getting to a real end of a game, right? Whereas True. There might be multiple endings, but it doesn't feel like a chore to get the one real one. So,
True.
Can't recommend Nice. The game enough. I bought it on a whim with so many other games not even opened up yet or already pre-ordered. And this has been the one that's just immediately taken me. So I'll toss it to you, Demetrius.
Nice. Yeah, I was like, I'll take the baton. I'll take the baton. You were very excited about Paranorman over there.
Dude. Yeah, dude, I'm just, please play it. Because I said I was gonna pass the baton to you. I said I was going to pass the baton to you. But they set it up to where they could do spin-offs in the same universe.
We're losing the race, Wes.
You know, so... Hey, buy it so they can make more. Come on now. Now I'm handing the baton off. There we go.
Yeah, it's like, we need animators to animate that. You passing the baton and then be like, wait a second.
Wait a second. Stop.
So, I mean, all I've really been up to, I've been bouncing between games, which is not like me at all. I was about to say, originator of the one game at a time person. You know, that was my whole shtick. But I've been playing... I finished Callisto Protocol. I don't think I talked about that on here. Mm-mm. And I thought, you know, I thought it got a lot more hate than it deserved when I actually played it after I got over the initial motion sickness that they warn you about and turned down the camera shake 50%. It's a pretty good game after that. It's just really freaking short. And that's the sad part. Really short and kind of... There's just pieces missing of it. I enjoyed the melee aspect. I think a lot of people didn't like it. But what was nice about the melee aspect is, like, you have these grotesque, disgusting monsters that literally get in your face and attack you. And in most games, all you have is a gun, right? So you're like, ah, get back. But you have, you know, your shotgun in your sternum while you're trying to shoot this thing. But what's cool about Callisto Protocol is you have a melee weapon and you can actually dodge most attacks. So that was cool. Cool horror, cool gore. Story
Real quick,
left a lot to be desired. A lot.
Real quick on Callisto, what did you rate it?
I gave it a 7.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool. I hate to jump in. I think it's cool. You liked it a lot more than I did. I was actually one of the guys that was kind of down on it. But I also gave it a 7. And I think you're about to touch on it, but I think that shows that there's definitely room for it to grow when someone that didn't like it and someone that did like it agree on where it sits.
Yeah, I usually don't even rate games, but when it's controversial, I will admit that I turn on the critical eye a little bit more. And there was just some things that didn't feel next gen to me. There was a few... It's usually just nitpicky things. I just didn't like how short it was. I didn't like the spin-off Kinesis, or Stasis, I would say, because it's the same developer, or at least same game director as Dead Space, Glenn Schofield. There was pieces that weren't cohesive with it. It was fun. Do not get me wrong. It was fun. It had some horror. It was mostly jump scares, so there wasn't a lot of suspense thriller horror. So it was mostly cheap jump scares. I appreciated some of the diversity of enemies. Combat and guns were cool. It just feels like... Well, I'll put it this way. It feels like EA bought the winning formula. And now Schofield is trying to make... He's trying to make it again. He's trying to capture the lightning in the bottle, but it's too similar to Dead Space. And on that point, I will agree that it's unfortunate how similar it is. It needs to branch off much harder in order for it to be successful, in my opinion. On a grander scale, because they already have Season 1 DLC with some extra area and bosses and stuff, so I'm not buying that. I didn't buy Dead Space 3's DLC either, so...
Hey, death animations. Death animations in the season pass.
They were good. Yeah, the death animations were kind of rough. I was like, dang, I feel a little bit bad. Just a little bit. I'm gonna still get up, though, so... but yeah, that was Callisto, and then I'm back on playing Elden Ring. Trying to beat Elden Ring, the biggest game I've ever played. I think I'm 103, 104 hours in Mountaintop of the Giants, so definitely out there, man. Slicing and dicing.
How's that going for you, Saeed?
Elden Ring, every time it's like Thursday, I'm like, okay, this weekend, Elden Ring time. And then I end up never doing it because I fall into the trap. No. Not even Genshin. I fall into the trap I mentioned earlier where I get into like this zone where I'll feel like I have to do the same thing over and over again. Like watch the same stuff I watched like not too long ago. Maybe add in another old thing I used to watch into the rotation. I don't know what it is.
This is why you wanted to fight the tree sentinel that many times, huh? You just like the feeling of doing it over and over again.
Maybe. That's true. Is it OCD type thing, maybe? I don't know. Like a light OCD.
You would like
OCD
Monster Hunter thing? Then. You'd like Monster Hunter where you exclusively have to do
the same thing over and over again. Maybe. You're a farmer.
I want to get efficient and good at like that thing that I'm having trouble with. A lot of the time I get...
That is
tree.
Monster.
I can't
that
believe
legit
I spent
Monster
so
Hunter.
Much time with the tree
That's
sentinel. I spent so much time with the tree sentinel, and then after the fact, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do it. I looked it up, and I'm like, apparently you're not supposed to fight him
that
early.
You're not supposed
That's
to fight
him.
We told you that.
Oh
we told
my
you
God.
That.
No, I knew.
This man over
I knew you said, oh you guys said gosh. Not early, but I didn't know it was that late game. Like, it's pretty deep into the game. You can fight him on, like, evenish terms.
It's not late in the game.
Not late, but like later
it's
than
much
I thought.
Later, yeah.
Yes, that's what I mean.
I mean,
because this
take
game
him
is
after,
ginormous.
Like, Margit.
I think I beat him before Margit.
Yeah.
I think I can beat him before Margit with
get
better
like,
equipment.
If you have gone through most of Limgrave and done Weeping Peninsula, you can definitely beat him.
Time to get back on that, Saeed.
Yeah, man. Elden Ring is pretty sick. I'm still on my blood build, messing around, you know, cutting people up, blood loss. Very fun. Definitely still a hard game, though. Definitely getting used to dying a lot. And I started this new Switch game I have told no one about.
Oh, no one?
No one. You got Ooh. this is a Bebop Banter exclusive. So Wes convinced me to buy the expansion pack in addition to, of course, Nintendo Online. And it comes with Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Nintendo 64, Sega Genesis, all these great systems and their games. I have been playing Paper Mario on the Nintendo 64. Very fun game. Honestly, for the price that we pay to get those, I guess, emulators, I would call them.
Yeah, it's like ROMs of them uploaded.
It's pretty much worth it for all the games you get in a handheld fashion. Super dope. Paper Mario is awesome. And much longer than you think, because it's an RPG-style Mario game with items, leveling up, putting points to different stats. You have a team. It's pretty awesome, not going to lie. Much bigger and better than I thought it would be. And I'm 14 hours in and maybe, I guess, roughly 3/7 through the game.
Okay, because I caught a few peeks of you playing it or at KatsuCon a little bit, caught a few peeks.
And you know you gotta grind, man. You gotta jump on the enemies. Get some XP. But that's a good game. But the game that I haven't told anyone about is on the Game Boy Color.
Okay.
I've never played this game before, and it is called Alone in the Dark: The New Nightmare. And
how is it?
I think it's by Infogrames. Infogrames? I don't know how to say it. If you saw the logo, you'd understand. It looks like a whole bunch of cursive eyes. Honestly, I thought it was just going to be trash because sometimes I just boot up games to see what it'll be like. But for a Game Boy Color game, I was like, yo, this game is it's interesting enough to keep playing. It's imagine a Game Boy Color game with almost like PS1 graphics. It's pixelated. And you are a guy that has been sent to this island in order to find his friend. Something about murder, mansion. It's kind of like Resident Evil vibes. You can pick up items, solve puzzles, trying to figure out how to get through this mansion, fight enemies. And I was like, this is a Game Boy Color game? And it's kind of like RE2, like the old Resident Evil 2 or Resident Evil 1, where you like walk on a static background and you'll be, you know, you'll go to a different area or a different area of the room. So it's pretty cool. It's not, I'm not going to say it's like a showstopper, but for a game that I randomly booted up, it is in my rotation now because I want to see where it goes. What's funny is it's so old, you can tell they didn't really have, how do I put it? There's not a lot of background music. So if you have anything in your Spotify you want to listen to, you could do that to make it spooky. You
boot up the soundtrack yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, bring your own soundtrack. And some of the text is like really hard to read. You'll be like, they'll be talking and you're like, okay, I think that says talk. I think. So it's like really old Game Boy Color style where you just can't understand everything you're reading, but it's pretty dope so far. It's cool.
Kind of spooky. Yeah, that's one of the ones that I saw when they revealed the Game Boy systems were coming to Nintendo Switch Online. And I know a lot of YouTubers I watch were excited that it was coming, but I've never played it. So to hear you give it that type of review makes me kind of interested to go into that next. And I don't know if you know this, Demetrius.
It was a random day. Like, not even joking. I was looking through, like, I wonder if they added anything new. What is this Alone in the Dark game? Like, a horror game on Color? Game Boy Color? Yeah, let's check it out. And I was like, oh, this is playable. This is not bad.
Now, I don't know if you know this.
Interesting.
Because I Googled Alone in the Dark because I could see the gameplay in my head from the trailer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I Googled it, and I guess perfect timing for you. I guess all of us, but you in particular because you're playing it. In August of 2022, THQ Nordic, a video game developer, had a games showcase, and they revealed they're doing a new Alone in the Dark for PS5 and Xbox Series X.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this is the first one, because I can't, it says The New Nightmare, so I don't know if that's a sequel.
So I'm looking at it, and it says Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare, alternatively known as Alone in the Dark 4, is the fourth installment.
Oh,
it's the fourth installment in the video game series Alone in the Dark, but is the reboot of the first game, or it's a reboot of the franchise. So technically, it's the first in, like, a reboot. Because I'm just, right now, pulling up the Wikipedia page. Because, you know, we're not in high school. We can use Wikipedia for sourcing here.
Ha, teachers.
Yeah. It went Alone in the Dark, Alone in the Dark 2, Alone in the Dark 3, Alone in the Dark, The New Nightmare. That came out in 2001. Then in 2008, Alone in the Dark came out for 360 and PlayStation 3, which was another reboot of the franchise. Then, in 2015, Alone in the Dark Illumination came out for Windows. And now
it just sounds like they're waiting for it to catch on, to be honest.
Yeah. And now in 2023, Alone in the Dark is getting rebooted yet again for Windows, PS5, and Xbox Series. Says the plot is the game follows Emily Hartwood and private investigator Edward Carnby as they travel to Dercedo Manor, a home for the mentally fatigued, to investigate the disappearance of Jeremy Hartwood, Emily's uncle. So it's going to be over the shoulder. That sounds familiar. It's going to be over the shoulder, third person perspective, similar to the recent remakes in the Resident Evil franchise. So
yeah, it's the boy Carnby, man. That's the guy.
Original plot. Original plot.
I was
supposedly.
Yeah, it sounds a little different, maybe. But I mean, the combat is like, I mean, it's passable. It's just impressive to me that it was a Game Boy Color game and it plays fairly well. I mean, it's just a casual exploration, mystery, match this to this, find the key, find the door. And it's a fairly decent size game from what I can tell.
And I think, you know, we're running up on our prescribed limit for these shorter episodes. But, Saeed, I don't know if you've seen us talk about it in the chat. You know, I don't know. But, Demetrius, you and I in particular have been talking about how older games have kind of, with the emergence of remakes, but even just things like N64 Online making things available, or like Nintendo Online, and PlayStation and Microsoft now focusing on backwards compatibility, bringing older games. People are starting to realize that these older games hold up.
Mm-hmm.
This could be.
I'll be honest with you. That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, it's a whole.
No, I was just about to say this could be a whole other episode. So, listeners, you could look forward to that, because as we record this, 3/21/23, the top rated games of the year, in order, out of all consoles, Metroid Prime Remastered, Dead Space Remake, Resident Evil 4, or no, I think it's Metroid Prime Remastered, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Dead Space. I forget the order, but the top three are all remakes. So, we're going to leave you all with this. What have you guys been doing while we've been kind of, you know, I say we've been off, we've released a couple episodes here the last pretty weekly, but it's been a while since we talked. So listeners, what have you been doing? Comment on our posts on Instagram. Follow us at Bebop Banter. And Demetrius, how can they support us?
You can go to our Patreon and go to either of our tiers. We will be releasing some new stuff soon. And if not, we'll freeze the billing. So don't worry about it. But hey, there's some cool stuff up there. They got art. We got the original episode zero and more to come.
Mm-hmm. So you can support us there, but go to our Instagram at Bebop Banter, comment with what you've been up to, and because we, you know, talked a lot about games this episode, comment what games you've been playing. Shout out to the boys, you know who you are, that have been grinding Fortnite with me. And on the topic of remasters, because we might do a remastered games episode or just a older games in general episode.
Retro rewind
game, yeah, like a retro rewind type of thing.
Yeah,
let us know what older game G4 you would like to see. Rest in peace again to G4 TV. It's because they didn't have Olivia Munn jumping into a cream pie dressed up as a maid, or Jessica Chobot looking a PSP.
I can't believe that's real. Oh my god. I remember hearing that clip that she licked the PSP. That was wild.
I love that. Yeah. I used to watch that channel all the time.
Yep. But comment with what game you would like to see from your childhood remastered, or which older game you think still holds up. Again, in part because we're all busy, in part because of my allergies, but also in part because we want to deliver some digestible episodes to you. We're keeping this one short, and we're going to be keeping the next few short going forward. So thank you all for listening. Look forward to new episodes. And hey, you know, it'll be over by the time this episode releases. But let's all get excited for the World Baseball Classic. My name was Wes. This was Demetrius and Saeed. And you guys know what to hit them with.
To be continued.
Bebop, don't stop.
Peace.